Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Still to come in this next hour, we're going to hear from Aidan O'Brien after Highland Reel won his sixth Group 1 overnight at Royal Ascot. We'll have a preview of tonight's Ascot Gold Cup as well. Order of St George looking to go back-to-back for Lloyd Williams. We'll also catch up with Patrick Payne, Shay Eden, and around about 9:30 we will have the trial files with Maddie Welsh, who will give you all the inside mail for horses over the weekend. But first of all, time to have a chat to Richard Irvine, because punting has been at the forefront of everyone's minds in the industry at the moment, especially with the merger between Tabcorp and also Tats. What does it mean for punters? And also a number of other issues which have been bubbling away at a federal level. Richard Irvine is a punter. He's also a wage-in commentator, and he's been in contact with the federal government discussing with them what the landscape needs to do and how it needs to change to make it a level playing field for punters here in Australia. He joins us this morning on Racing Pulse. Good morning, Richard. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you, Michael. How are you, mate?
Very well. I'm very happy that you've been able to take the time to have a chat to us about a number of issues. First of all, what was your reaction to the Tats-Tabcorp merger, and how do you think that will play out for punters here in Australia?
I think overall it's sort of a bit of a storm in a teacup, really, sort of the, in my opinion, the court case that happened and stuff. I think that a couple of things that are, quite salient points to me is, one, the renegotiation of the Victorian licence is not going to happen until 2024. I think it's a long, long way away. And I listened to your interview with Giles Thompson and found it interesting, and that shed quite a lot of light on the whole situation. I think that in 7 or 8 years' time, when the licence have to renegotiate it, I think there will be other parties who'll get involved. I think that whenever opportunities are sniffed out within the wagering environment, other companies get involved. There's some pretty heavy hitters, obviously, for all the European bookies. You've also got Crownbet and backed by Packer, who might be interested in doing some stuff. So overall, I think there will be good competition for the Victorian licence in 2024. And, I don't see it as that big a deal. I mean, moving on from that, the Tabcorp keeps saying that it's going to be a win for customers. I can't really see where the win for customers is going to be unless we get towards a national tote and they do drop the takeout rate. Maybe our customer experience might be enhanced a bit due to, better technologies and stuff, and combining the two businesses, the technology might get better. So overall, I don't think it's that big a deal, but many people might disagree with me.
There's been some talk from punters and concerns that maybe the takeout rate will be increased if it becomes this huge monopoly and there isn't competition. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, they can do that. It would be the dumbest thing they could possibly do. The totes sort of in free fall as it is. Everyone's leaving it. If they wanted to put it up, they could, but it'd be a pretty stupid move. And there sort of is competition in the sense that you've got sports betting and you've also got fixed odds betting on racing. Sports betting is so much cheaper. And the more sophisticated punters would straight away realise that, they get a huge discount when they bet on sport. And the less sophisticated punters will probably just, innocuously realise that, they tend to be able to have more bets on sport because, their money gets returned to them quicker and stuff. So, and then there is a thing called the global tote, which a corporate bookmaker is trying to get going. It's very challenging for them, but they might get it up and running. That would be really good.
So just explain to our listeners out there who may not be au fait with it, what exactly is the global tote?
It's just a top bet, which is a corporate bookmaker has started a tote exactly the same as, the tote that the Tabcorp have and Tatsbet have. And I think its takeout is quite a lot less, about 110%. I think that Tabcorp takeout's about 180%. They've obviously seen an opportunity in the market that people are leaving the tote, so they're trying to give people a better deal on the tote. And, they're going for it. I mean, I'm surprised that they've got it to where they have, in the sense that, Tabs sort of have a monopoly and pay a lot of money to have that monopoly, so they do deserve it. But there does seem to be room for another tote in the marketplace. And, I hope they can get it going. I mean, the biggest problem the global tote faces at the moment is a lack of liquidity. There's just, not enough people betting in it, but they're doing a lot of things to try and, enough, you might find that the Tabs start looking over their shoulders and realise that not only are they losing a lot of ground to fixed odds betting, but they're also starting to lose some ground to the global tote or another kind of tote that might come in, you know, from some other operator over the next few years. So,
The wagering landscape is changing, and we know that with federal laws that will be brought in, especially around advertising and so forth, which doesn't affect the racing industry, and there's some thought that maybe stricter gambling restrictions for advertising may in fact strengthen horse racing, which is not part of that restriction. For you, and I know you've recently spoken to the federal government, what are the major issues for punters at the moment in Australia, and what needs changing?
In terms of what the federal review, the federal government can act upon, I think it's two as important as each other. I think that we need to have a national regulator that just looks at wagering. I'm not calling for a national regulator that covers racing. I know that a lot of people want that to happen, but that's a different kettle of fish. But the national regulator on wagering, and all they would simply do is be the regulator for all the corporate bookmakers in Australia. That would include Tabcorp and all that kind of stuff. And I would like to see them obviously bring in a minimum bet law for all sports and all events. And I think that's the ethical thing that they need to do. And I think they also need to do that to make bookmakers do what the federal government actually gives them a license to do, which is, you know, lay every runner or option in an event and then, you know, make their percentage on that. And I think that if they don't bring in a minimum bet law, all they're doing is encouraging a more negative type of gambling in society and problem gambling, because if they don't, what they're basically doing is condoning bookmakers being able to just find losing gamblers, and not always losing gamblers. They're going to be problem gamblers, but you're certainly going to catch quite a few problem gamblers in your net if that's all the bookmakers are doing. And you know, look, the situation is a whole lot better. A lot of the bookmakers have changed their practices and the marketplace is much better, but we've still got a bit of way to go. I mean, I only bet on horse racing, so I want to, you know, I'm motivated to see that that we get, you know, Western Australia and South Australia on board, and then also you've got the smaller states of ACT, Tasmania, Northern Territory on board as well. So if the federal government acted, that would get the horse racing minimum bet law Australia-wide, which would be fantastic. And, you know, as I've gone along in my advocacy, I constantly get, messages and tweets and emails from people asking about what's happening with sport and when sport can get a level playing field as well. I and many other people spoke to the federal government. The federal government, after sort of hearing constantly, many, many complaints about it, have commissioned a review, and the review's been conducted by the Department of Social Services. And basically, they've interviewed a whole lot of people from, bookmakers to punters to the sporting codes, so the federal government can have a clear understanding of what is actually happening. And then it's basically up to them to act and decide what they want to do. And another thing that I did say to the federal government review is that I think it's imperative that we do get a national regulator on wagering, because it's so fractured at the moment, and you've got, all these different minimum bets, limits or laws between the different states, which is still great, but they're still all over the shop. It just seems so obvious. Bring it all together under one roof, and then we won't have all this, the fractured state of things.
I was going to say, can the federal government do anything about another issue which a lot of punters have frustration with, and that's the closure of accounts with corporate bookmakers?
I mean, they can completely do something. They can just, have a national regulator, and one of the rules and the legislation of that national regulator is that bookmakers can't close accounts of any punter, due to their commercial viability or anything like that. Whatever the federal government says, one, the bookmakers have to do, and it's been shown that that's what the bookmakers would do. So it's a very easy thing for the federal government to do, and I think that the federal government absolutely have the responsibility to do that. If they're going to allow these bookmakers to infiltrate our sporting culture, then they need to understand what exactly is going on and make a judgment on it. And I don't mind if the bookmakers are allowed to continue to close accounts and not bet people, but the federal government needs to let every single person know what's happening when they bet with these bookmakers. At the moment, you get a lot of people that get enticed to bet with the bookies, via the ads in all the sport, and then they start betting with them, and then 2 weeks later, if they're not profitable with the bookies, they're shown the door. And these people should know before they start betting that they're not going to be allowed to win, and they can make an educated decision about whether or not they want to start betting, like the federal government make all other businesses do. You know, if you buy shares through a stockbroker, or, you know, you invest in a fund, you know, the product disclosure statements are sent to you, and they're long and they're involved, and that needs to happen with gambling as well. But I think it's in everyone's best interest, the bookies and the punters and the federal government, to bring in a minimum bet law across Australia and let the markets rip. And I've sort of had that as a bit of a catch cry for a long time, and I was saying, you know, pleaded with Victoria to do it and to an extent New South Wales, and the results in both New South Wales and Victoria have been outstanding, and Queensland are about to join in as well. I think that will help help their turnover to not only grow but also stay relevant. Relevant in the marketplace at the moment. And the marketplace at the moment is tough because totes declining and fixed odds is increasing, and, you know, the money that gets returned to the industry by fixed odds is not as strong as what does by the totes. But you've got to be realistic within the marketplace that you're in, and you've got to try and maximise the returns out of your customers, and their habits, I guess.
So this study that you've been part of with the federal government, what occurs now? When is it presented to government, and what could be the likely outcomes from it?
June 30, it gets given to the government. It won't be made public, which is a bit disappointing. And then we don't really know when they're going to act. We'll probably give them a couple of months to digest it all, and then we'll get back into them and try and get some clearer answers off them. But I think it's probably tied up and there's another thing, there's sort of a national framework being put together. I'm not as completely across that, but there's a national framework being put together around problem gambling and advertising stuff. And I would imagine maybe this will get tucked in to that as well. And I would presume maybe towards the end of the year we'll get some pretty clear answers. And one last thing that I wanted to say on that whole review is I did sort of implore on the government that if they are going to set up a national regulator, which I hope they do, and obviously that national regulator would have a board, that a punter be placed on that board so that, you know, the punting side of things can always have their views represented. And I think it would obviously be very beneficial for punters, but also help to not let, you know, all the fractured state that's basically existed in racing for the last 10 or 15 years to happen, because, punters' voices are hurting. Heard better, it's for the betterment of everybody.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, and we'll keep in contact with you, Richard, when you hear anything federally. But that is disappointing that the findings of the study won't be made public, but they'll be handed to the government on the 30th of June, and then we'll wait to see if any of the framework in the wagering industry, which pertains especially to racing, is changed moving forward. As I mentioned earlier on the show, we had been hopeful of getting David Attenborough, the CEO of Tabcorp, on today. He's not able to do it today, so hopefully we'll have a chat with him either tomorrow or early next week, and we'll be able to put a number of questions to David re the Tab merger, and also Tab in general. Richard, thanks for your time this morning.
Good on you, champ. Bye-bye.
Richard Irvine there, who is a pro punter and a wagering commentator. Certainly going to be an interesting space, wagering landscape in Australia over the next 12 months. We're going to take a short break. On the other side of this, we'll have a look at day 2 at Royal Ascot.